Joshua 14. So when the Israelites left Egypt, God sent them on a two-week journey to the Promised Land. And they got to the Promised Land. You know, they've crossed the Red Sea. They get to the Promised Land, the southern edge. And God says, here's what you need to do. Send 12 men in there and have them check things out. And have them bring back report. Well, what were they going to find? I'll tell you what they were going to find. A land flowing with milk and honey. Man, the waterfalls, the grapes, the pomegranates, the dates, everything you could think, just wonderful, lush, you know, green fruits, vegetables, everything. It was beautiful. Houses that were already built, beds that were big enough where their feet wouldn't hang off the end, right? And so they check out all these wonderful places, and they stayed in there for 40 days. And so 40 days later, they came back carrying on staffs huge clusters of grapes, had to carry it between two men. And they get back. You can imagine the children of Israel as they see the men coming back into the camp with all this wonderful stuff. I mean, boy, this beautiful fresh fruit and vegetables and excitement of the stories of how wonderful that land is. And that's what they were supposed to do. That was the mission. That was the assignment. Go in there, tell us how great it is, come back and share your report. And 10 of them reported fear and defeat. The people said, oh, this is great. And they said, no, you don't understand. There's giants. Man, there's no way we'll ever be able to occupy this land. God brought us here for nothing. It's too hard. It's too hard. We'll die. It's too hard. We'll be defeated. 10 of them, that was their report. But Joshua and Caleb reported, well, y'all see the grapes for yourselves. Don't you want some? Right? You see the dates. You see the land flowing milk and honey. Don't you want to live there? I mean, yeah, there's giants. You know what that means? You won't hit your head when you walk into the door, right? You won't hit the top of the door. The beds are big because giants live. So the mattresses are long enough you can sleep on it. I mean, everything's bigger there, right? It wasn't Texas, but everything's bigger there. And so they said, come on, man, it's wonderful. We'll enjoy it. It's great. I mean, you've never seen such beauty in your life as this land that God has promised us. And those 10 said, no, no, no. There's no way. They'll kill us. They'll stomp on us like grasshoppers. They're going to eat us alive like bread. No way. No way. We should have just stayed back in Egypt. Pack your stuff. Let's just go back. And so the people got so angry, they wanted to stone Moses because it was his idea to leave. And Joshua and Caleb, because they're the ones saying we should go in. They were going to kill them. And the Bible says that God sentenced them to wander for 40 years because of their unbelief. A 14-day journey, they were there, and all they had to do is follow God's plan to go in and claim what was there, and they were sentenced to 40 years of never discovering what God had promised them. 40 years to never realize what God had prepared for them. You know, I think about these stories that were shared this morning. Because of unbelief, we get right to the edge of what God has for us, and we go another direction and never realize it. By the way, God said everybody above the age of 20, now this excludes the priestly tribe, everybody above the age of 40 will die with never realizing the promise, except two men, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua would succeed Moses as the leader of Israel. Joshua would lead Israel into the promised land. And Caleb would live those 40 years, survive, go in and be part of the battles that would succeed to take the land for Israel. And Joshua and Caleb would serve that sentence with them. Think about this. Because of their unbelief, Joshua and Caleb could not enter the promised land for 40 years. Because of their unbelief, Joshua and Caleb had to live in the wilderness for 40 years and not realize what God had offered them. You see, the people that we are connected with have a huge influence on our lives. And we serve that sentence with them. Now, I don't know about you, But I don't want to serve a sentence of wandering for 40 years. I want to live, I want to flourish, I want to thrive, I want to be blessed. I want to realize all the potential that God has for me, not just down the road, but what he has for me now, because now is down the road from back then, right? I want to realize what God has for me today. I want to realize tomorrow what God has. And so I've got to be careful who I connect myself with, lock myself into, or as Jesus put it, as we're yoked with, as Paul put it, don't be unequally yoked. Or we connect ourselves with people who are not believers, and we tie ourselves and bind ourselves to people who are not going in the way of God. We are going to serve that sentence with them. The people who connect themselves with us are going to serve that sentence with us. So if that's alcohol or drugs or misbehavior or whatever sort, and we're not serving God, and so we're not realizing the blessings of God, those who are connected with us are going to serve that sentence with us. Caleb served that sentence with them for 40 years. Remember what God said, everybody above the age of 20 at that moment would die in the wilderness. And I have the idea that Caleb and Joshua were looking around, you know, every once in a while, and they say there's only about four or five of them left. We must be getting close because they're dying off, right? You get to a certain age and all your friends have gone, haven't they? And that's what Joshua and Caleb are the only two men running around with that long white hair and that white beard. Everybody else is young. I'm young, like in their 40s, right? Very young. Right? In their 40s, young people. The age of youth. Right? So they're in their 40s, and Joshua and Caleb are now in their 80s. All the people have died off. Now they've crossed over the Jordan. They've come into the promised land. You remember Gilgal and you remember Jericho, and they've accomplished and they've won and they've fought. And we come to Joshua chapter 14. Y'all wondered if we'd ever get there, didn't you? Finally, they're in possession of the land of Israel, and they're divided it among the tribes. The only two old men are Joshua and Caleb, and Caleb remembers God's promise. Look at verse number 11, if you will. Caleb says in verse number 11, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in." Caleb said, "I'm as strong at 85 as I was at 45. How many of you could say that? Right? But why? Why? Because, look, God keeps his promise. And God wanted Caleb to enjoy the promised land, to enjoy that inheritance as much at 85 as he could at 45. And so God has kept him strong so that he could walk and experience and even go to battle and do everything. You know, climb trees, swim rivers, whatever he wanted to do. At 45, he can now do at 85. And that's what he says. Look, Caleb has confidence. Caleb is strong. And verse number 12, Caleb says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Now, which mountain is he talking about? There was a certain mountain in the land of the Anakims, or the giants. And when Caleb had gone there as a spy 40 years ago, he saw that big house and he said, "I want that house." He saw those big beds. He said, "I want a bed like that." He saw those huge doorways and he said, "I like that." And he saw those gardens and everything up on that mountain, those stairways, everything he saw, it was bigger there. And he just loved it. He liked it. He wanted it. And he didn't forget it. 40 years later, he was still thinking about that place that he saw. And he comes to Joshua, who's in charge of dividing the land to the tribes. And Caleb says, "I want that. I want that mountain." He said, "I'm strong. I'll fight for it." You understand something? There's still giants there. The giants hadn't left. They're still occupying the land. You see, as they set out to take the land, they have to assign, okay, who's going to get that and how are we going to get it? Because there's still people living there. There's still giants on this mountain that Caleb wants. Caleb doesn't care. Y'all are scared of them. I wasn't scared of them 40 years ago, he says, and I'm not scared of them now. That's confidence. That's faith. Why? Because he believed God. Because he believed God. God said, "You can have it." And he saw those giants and he said, "Giants, God said, I can have this." You got to get out. This is mine now. God said I could have it. That's where we have to live, in the promise of God, in the hope of God, in the faith of God. But see, the problem is sometimes we get saved because we believe in what God says, but the longer we live, we forget. We stop thinking about those promises and we stop remembering those promises. And our faith begins to die out. One day we wake up and guess what we see? Giants all around us. Why? Because we stopped believing. Because we stopped having confidence. He says, give me this mountain. Why? Look at what he says in verse 12. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great, fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. I have two little notes here next to this verse. It says grace and tenacity. We need that. We need to have grace and tenacity. Believing God, hoping in God, but also willing to fight for what God says we can have. Willing to fight for it. Oh, well, you shouldn't have to fight for it if God said you can have it. Really? I was riding with a guy this weekend, and he's 23 years old from Afghanistan. He's been in America for 3 years, and he's asking me questions about, you know, how old do you have to be to get married here? And I said, well, you have to be 18. And so he'd tell me how it was in Afghanistan. And he said, well, you know, he's Muslim, and so we talked about faith. And he said, well, in my country, you know, when you get married, that's this. I said, it's sacred. I said, yes, we're supposed to be here too. But people stop fixing things. People don't want to struggle, and they don't want to work hard for things anymore. So if marriage gets hard, we just trade it in for a new one. That's what happens. You got to learn to fight for things. If you're having a hard day, fight it. If you're having a hard time, fight it. If you're having trouble at work, keep fighting. Keep struggling. We can't just walk away when everything gets hard. We got to struggle sometimes. We got to work through some things. And yes, I say fight. You know, I'm not talking about putting up your dukes, but you know, you got to work through it, and you got to find solutions, and you got to have strategies. You don't just lay down because it hurts. You don't just quit because you don't feel like doing it. We got to work through it, and we got to be tenacious. Got to have some grit. We got to have faith. Say, God, help me. I believe you've said I could have this. Show me how. Show me what to do. Caleb said, the giants are still sleeping in my bed. The giants are still eating at my table. He wasn't Goldilocks, but he said, I'm taking it. I'm moving in. It's mine. God said I could have it. And if nobody, look at what he said. He didn't say we can. He didn't say y'all come with me. What did he say? He said, I will. If nobody goes, I'll go. If nobody follows, I'm going anyway. That's the kind of faith we've got to have. When everybody else abandons God's standards, we got to have God's standards. When everybody else abandons God's word, we got to stand on God's word. When everybody else abandons God's church or prayer or Jesus himself, we've got to stand with the Lord. We cannot abandon Jesus. We cannot abandon everything that God has for us. And we cannot, should not abandon God's promises. God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And I separated you, and I sanctified you, and I ordained you. I had a mission, I had a purpose for you before you were even born. But look at what he says in verse 14. And we're almost finished, by the way. You find that hard to believe, but we almost are. Verse 14, he said, Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That's why. Why? Because he followed God. Because he didn't let some giants discourage him. Because he didn't let, you know, the enormity of the situation discourage him. Number one, they were big houses. Number two, they were big people. And number three, they were on top of a mountain. And all three of those are obstacles. And Caleb just kept saying, doesn't matter, I want it. Doesn't matter, God said I could have it. Doesn't matter, I'm still going after it. You may be having some struggles right now because There are people in your family that won't follow Jesus. Just keep praying, and keep hoping, and keep watching. God will work it out. God will do those things. Sometimes the best thing we can do is stop talking about it and stop doing it and just pray. Get our hands off and just see what God will do. Just say, God, I'm putting them in your hands and I'm going to stay out of it. The problem is most of us won't stay out of it. But when we turn it over to God and say, God, I'm just going to turn it over to you and I'm not going to preach and I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to be quiet because I want to see what you will do if I stay out of it. Again, not making an excuse, but you've already tried and it didn't work. So let's turn it over to God and see what God will do. You see, Caleb wasn't bitter. He wasn't discouraged. Their lack of faith had cost him 40 years of living in a beautiful place and experiencing all of the blessings of God. But he wasn't bitter and he wasn't discouraged. He maintained hope in God's promise, and the Bible says he wholly followed the Lord. When others were whining that they were hurt, hungry and thirsty, they say, we're all going to die here, and Moses brought us out to die here. And Caleb just kept thinking, I can't wait to see how those curtains look in that new house. Just kept remembering God's promise. See, God told him something. He said, Joshua and Caleb, y'all can go in. The rest of y'all can't. He said, nobody that's standing here above the age of 20 is going in there. Oh, well, we changed our mind, Lord. We want to go. He said, too late. They tried. They changed their mind. He said, nope, too late. I already told you no. Guys, don't mess with God. He makes you a promise. Believe him. Trust him. Let him work it out. Be patient while he works it out. Don't get frustrated with the people around you. Just keep looking to God and say, God, I trust you. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the struggle is almost unbearable. But just say, Lord, I just trust in you. I'm still trusting you. I believe it was Job who said, though he slay me, I will trust him. Would you stand? Father, we love you. We're glad to be in your house this morning. There may be somebody here this morning who doesn't understand what it means to trust in you completely. We've tried to do our good works. We thought that religion would help us to get closer to heaven. But they've never surrendered and just put their faith in you. I pray that right now they'll put all their hope in you and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to receive the forgiveness of their sins and the promise of eternity. Or some days in this life make us want to give up and throw in the towel. But we must be an example to those around us of what faith is. So draw us to you, strengthen our hearts and our minds, our resolve, that we would have the confidence of Caleb. And we would have the memory of Caleb when it comes to the promises of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you need to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. If you want me to pray with you, whatever's on your heart or mind this morning, this is the time. Talk to God from where you are. Talk to God. God, I trust you. Sometimes I get discouraged, God, but I trust you. I know you're going to work it out. I believe in your promises. And I just need to keep being an example to those around me. I need to be that shining light, the refuge of hope. Because people are looking at me, and I want them to see Jesus in me. So even when it's hard, even when it takes too long, I trust in God. He'll make a way where there is no way. He makes the river in dry land. All right. back tonight at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night at 7, we look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Andy, dismiss us, please.